Our text for tonight is the first of the Beatitudes found in verse 3 of Matthew 5. The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Many of the truths which the Lord set out in the Beatitudes runs contrary to the thinking of the world. The world does not believe that blessedness or happiness can be found in being poor in spirit, in mourning, or in being meek. The world cannot understand how blessedness can be found in hungering and thirsting after righteousness, or even in being merciful. Because in this world, as we all know, it's every man for himself. To the world, where the wickedness of man is great, and the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually, how then may blessedness be found in being pure in heart? How can blessedness be found in a world where every man's face seems to be against every man, and yet the Lord speaks about peacemakers? How is it possible to be blessed when a person is being persecuted? The man of the world cannot understand or even accept that blessedness or happiness can be found in any of these things. But then the Savior was not speaking about the men of this world. He was dealing with those who belong to another world. The Lord is here speaking about the blessedness that is the portion of those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord shows here that there is blessing to be found in every circumstance in life, because we do not belong to this world. Rather, we belong to that land that is fairer than day. And that land is a land of blessedness. We will enjoy that blessedness of the kingdom of heaven one day. But the Lord here teaches his disciples that they can know this blessedness while upon earth, because they are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We begin then by looking at the Christian and happiness. That's what the Lord is speaking about here. The word blessedness, of course, is happiness. The word blessed means happy. Happy are the poor in spirit. And the Lord in the next verse says, "Happy are they that mourn." And the world might say, "Well, how can this be?" But it is something that the child of God experiences and can experience, but the world knows nothing about, because they are not citizens of the kingdom of heaven, because they don't know the Lord. The Lord enjoys perfect blessedness. Regarding the matter of blessedness or happiness, we notice the search for happiness. The man of the world is engaged in an endless search for happiness, but he continues to look, and he's always looking in the wrong place. The general opinion is that blessed are they that are rich. The thinking of the world is blessed are they that are great and honorable. Blessed are they that spend their days in mirth and their years in pleasure. The world says, blessed are they that spend their nights partying and drinking and descending into the mire of debauchery and immoral behavior. To the world, that's happiness. That was the path. To suppose blessedness with which the children of Israel descended. They built the golden calf. And then we're told, then the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Exodus 32, verse 6. In their search for happiness, they turned their back upon the true worship of God and instead worshipped the golden calf, offering sacrifices unto it. They didn't look to the Lord for the happiness that their hearts desired, but rather they sought happiness in sitting down to eat and drink and rising up to play. And when Moses descended the mount, Joshua said there's a sound of noise, of war rather, in the camp. In other words, the children of Israel were engaged in war against the Lord. They were worshipping a golden calf instead of the Lord. They did not look to the Lord to give them a blessedness or to enjoy happiness. They looked to a golden calf. And to eating and drinking and rising up to play. And you can be sure that their play was not innocent play. Just as the rich man believed that his life was complete and would be filled with happiness because of the abundance of those things he possessed. We know the story well, recorded in Luke 12. Where the rich man had a great harvest and had so much of a harvest that his barns were filled. He wrung his hands and saying, what shall I do then? He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. He found the key to happiness. Possessions, pleasure, whatever the world can offer, he had found happiness. Yet we know what the Lord said, thou fool. Is it interesting that the Lord called him a fool for thinking that happiness was to be found in worldly pleasure, in worldly possessions? The Lord said, thou fool. Happiness and blessedness is not found in those things. Thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then what will happen to your possessions? Whose will they be? For many, happiness is to be found in winning the lottery ticket. We've seen the commercials. Everybody's laughing and smiling. Off they go on luxurious holidays and have a big house, two or three cars in the driveway. And the world tells us there is the key. That's the key to happiness. Well, not all rich people are happy. Not everyone who enjoys the pleasure crazes of the world has found happiness there. The Savior says, blessed or happy are the poor in spirit. It's quite a difference, isn't it? And yet the Lord says that is where happiness can be found. So we have considered the search for happiness. We think of the source of happiness. For a man to know and experience true happiness or blessedness, he must then go to the source. Where is the source of true happiness? Where is the fountain of blessedness? Where does that fountain flow? Where is it to be found? The psalmist tells us, Psalm 144, verse 15, happy, here it is, here's the source. Happy or blessed is that people whose God is the Lord. There's the source. True happiness is to be found in knowing the God of heaven as our Lord and as our Savior. Many people today have their gods whom they cannot do without. There are things that occupy practically every waking thought of theirs. They cannot live without their God. They cannot live without their God called alcohol. They just cannot live without it. They cannot live without their God that is called drugs. They can't do without their drugs. It's their God that rules their life. But have they found happiness in such things? No. Because their God is not the Lord. They have their gods, but they cannot say with the psalmist, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And the person who does not have the Lord will never find and experience true happiness. To know happiness is to know the Lord. To know the Lord is to know happiness. To not know the Lord is not to know true happiness, true blessedness. Proverbs 16, verse 20. They have these words. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. So that infers that he that does not trust in the Lord, he does not have happiness. But the person who trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Person who's not trusting in the Lord will never find true happiness. He can cover this world. He can travel to every country and continent on this earth. He can try every pleasure that the world has to offer. And I guarantee at the end of his travels, he will not have found true happiness. He'll still be searching. But the Lord here says, blessed or happy are the poor in spirit. There's happiness. And that, as we've already stated, is something the world cannot understand. When the Queen of Sheba heard about the wisdom of Solomon. She had to go herself and find out firsthand, was all that was said about Solomon true? Well, as we know that she did go, and all that she heard about him was true. In fact, she said, "The half was not told me." And she saw the dwelling place of Solomon, and there was something that impressed her. Something that impressed her. She said, "Happy are thy men. Happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom." 1 Kings 10 and verse 8. That impressed her. The happiness that was seen in Solomon's men and in his servants. Well, you know what the Lord said one day when he was talking about Solomon? He said, "A greater than Solomon is here." He was speaking, of course, about himself. And if King Solomon's men and servants were happy, how much more happy are the men and the servants of King Jesus? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for all who are the sons and the servants of the one who is greater than Solomon, they're happy indeed. Because their sins have been forgiven. Their transgressions have been removed. Their iniquities have been pardoned. Their sins have all been cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. And isn't it sin that makes people today so unhappy? It's their sin. But God in His grace has taken away our sin. And to know true happiness, we must go to the source. And God is the one who can give us true happiness through His Son. Sin has stolen man's happiness since the day our first parents yielded to temptation in the garden. So we can go to God, the source of true happiness, because God Himself is truly happy. Because He is thrice holy God, He is without sin. And since the Lord is without sin, He is truly blessed. He's blessed. Now, if you want to be made happy, you're not going to go to someone who's always moaning and groaning and complaining. You'll not find any happiness talking to that individual. But you will find happiness when you go to the God of heaven, who's holy, thrice holy. As Moses said, He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. He's the source of happiness. And the Lord Jesus, our Savior, is always happy. Yes, I know there were times when He wept and when He was sad and when He was depressed in Gethsemane, but He had an inner happiness that could not be taken away. Just as we also have our sad times and our sorrowful times, but there's an inner happiness. There's an inner joy. As Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." It's His joy that He gives to us. It's the Lord's joy. The joy of the Lord. He has given His joy to us. and gave it to us when our sins were forgiven and we became one of his own. He gave us his joy, and his joy is our strength. His happiness is our happiness and our blessedness. That is why the Savior is able to say, blessed are the poor in spirit, because we have found true blessedness and true joy in Jesus Christ our Savior. As well as the search for happiness and the source of happiness, we want to consider the spirit of happiness. Blessed, happy are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit. So here is a people who are poor in spirit, yet at the same time they have the spirit of happiness or blessedness in their soul. I'm sure you have met that type of believer who always seems to be in a happy frame of mind. Maybe we can't all be like that. But there is an inner happiness and joy that is always there since we came to know the Lord. And that spirit of happiness thrives on spiritual things. It thrives on the things of God. Heaven, of course, is a place where only happy and blessed saints will dwell. All who dwell in heaven will be happy and blessed. And the Christian's happiness is all ablaze when that Christian tastes a little bit of heaven here upon earth. You've been to a meeting. Sure, you've been to a meeting where you've known and experienced the Lord's presence. And you've been blessed just by being in the meeting with God's people. You enjoyed the fellowship. You were blessed with the prayers that were offered. You were blessed in your soul as you sang the praises of God. You were blessed through the preaching of the word. You were blessed. You received blessing. Because you have the spirit of blessedness, you have the spirit of happiness that thrives on holy and heavenly things. And you've been in those meetings and you've said in your heart, you know, this is a little taste of heaven. And you've been blessed. Now, the ungodly, the unconverted, can sit in the same meeting. And you've gone out blessed, and the ungodly goes out through the door unmoved, untouched. Might as well be at a baseball game. For them, they would get more enjoyment out of that. But the Christian who sits beside that person in the meeting, they are blessed. Because their soul thrives on holy things and the things of God. We have then the spirit of happiness. And the Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now how is it that the Christian can sit in such a meeting as that and be blessed and be moved, maybe even to tears? And yet the unsaved person can sit there and not be moved at all. Paul tells us in Romans 8 verse 7, Paul says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. They find happiness, a short-lived happiness, in their sins. They don't see any happiness in spiritual things. Spiritual things don't make them happy. Spiritual things don't make them feel blessed. But the citizen of the kingdom of heaven is blessed with holy things, because that's where he will dwell forever, in a holy heaven, and enjoy blessedness forever in heaven. And so while we're here upon earth, we receive blessing through holy things. A little taste of heaven upon earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we have considered the Christian and happiness. The Lord here is speaking, when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, he's speaking about the Christian and humility. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This speaks to us of the selfless saint. Because the word poor that we have here is a very expressive word, meaning extreme poverty. Extreme poverty to the point of destitution. That's the word the Savior chose. Extreme poverty to the point of destitution. The meaning has nothing to do with material matters, but of spiritual things. Because a man may possess many things in this world, yet at the same time be poor in spirit. The reference here is to what a child of the kingdom of heaven doesn't possess. If the Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit, the Lord is speaking about what the child of God does not have. When you talk about a poor man that you see in the street, you say, that poor man, he doesn't have good clothes. That poor man, he doesn't have a decent meal, or he doesn't have a home, or he doesn't have a warm bed to lie in. These are the things he doesn't have. That's why you describe that person as poor. Now the Lord describes his children as being poor. Poor in spirit. It refers to that which we don't have. We don't have ambitions to be wealthy or to be famous or to be known in the world. The child of God in heaven doesn't have pride in his heart. He's not after popularity or promotion. That's the child of God in heaven. He's poor in spirit because he doesn't have these things. He doesn't own these things. He doesn't possess these things. He doesn't possess a desire to exalt self. He doesn't possess a desire to seek prominence. And if that is the case in heaven, then it must be case with us here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you remember what the Lord taught his disciples when he taught them about prayer? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Remember, we are citizens of the heavenly kingdom. And if we are citizens of the heavenly kingdom, we are to live as citizens of the heavenly kingdom here on earth. that others may look upon us or be in our company. They know that we are Christians. They may not say, oh, that man is a citizen of heaven, but that's what they mean when they will say, well, that person I know by his conversation, his behavior. That person's a Christian. And if they say that, they're really saying, that person belongs to the kingdom of heaven. And dear Christian, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, that's how we're to live here on earth. We're not to live like the world. We're not to behave as the world, this world behaves. We're not to have the conversation of this world. Rather, our conversation is to be a heavenly conversation, as Paul tells us. So the Lord here, when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, he's saying, blessed are the humble. Matthew 18 and verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So you can see humility is linked with the kingdom of heaven. And if we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven, then we're to be humble here upon earth. And you go over to Matthew 19 and verse 14. Well known words. But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. And the Lord, in speaking about the children, says, suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He's highlighting the humility of children. And the child of God is to have that same humility because we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. I'm sure you have heard individuals describing other believers saying, oh, that's a very worldly Christian. That's a very worldly individual. It's too bad that a Christian is described that way. The better if that Christian was described as being a heavenly Christian, not a worldly Christian. Because if they're truly Christians and truly the saints of God, then heaven will be their dwelling place. Heaven is their home, not this world. Paul exhorted the Colossian saints to live on earth, as it were, as the citizens of heaven. In Colossians 3, and Paul, speaking to the saints at Colossae, chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Those are the marks of a citizen of heaven. That's how we are to live here and conduct ourselves. Humbleness of mind. What is that? That is being poor in spirit. So we have seen then, regarding the Christian and humility, the selfless saint, Surely this speaks to us also of the surrendered saint. Do the words of the Lord not speak to us of surrender? They spoke to be spoken of as the poor in spirit. That is what the saint is to be and will be in heaven. The true saint of God, who is described as poor in spirit, does not desire anything else, does not desire anything above that. Just to be poor in spirit. If the Lord were to describe us as being poor in spirit, then we may say in response, Lord, that's what I want to be then. I'm happy with that. I'm blessed with that. With that position, with that description, poor in spirit. And that just simply means the Christian surrenders himself to the lowly position. He's not wanting anything higher than this. He's not wanting to be exalted. Just to be poor in spirit. Because that's what the Christian will be in heaven. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. We think of the Lord Jesus. Christ was poor in spirit. Who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor. That we through his poverty might be made rich, even though the Savior owned the cattle on a thousand hills. Yet for our sakes he became poor. He was born in a poor stable. Born into a poor family. Lived the life of a poor man. Remember what he said to those disciples who suggested to him that they would follow him? He told them, as if the Lord was saying, well, listen, you better know something. And he said to them, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He was poor in spirit. Poor in spirit are rich because the Lord has said, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Surely this also speaks to us of the satisfied saint. The citizen of heaven is content with being called poor in spirit and is satisfied to remain so, because after all, that's what he will be in heaven. For in heaven, he will have no longing for anything or desire for anything, or neither will he covet anything. He will be completely and eternally satisfied. And so if in heaven, why not upon earth? If we are citizens of heaven, and when we are in heaven, when we arrive in heaven, we'll not desire anything, long for anything, covet anything. We will be perfectly and eternally satisfied. Why not here on earth? Well, we often sing the hymn, now none but Christ can satisfy. And the very fact that we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, surely we are satisfied. Because when we have the Lord, we have everything. We're satisfied with what the Lord has done for us. We're satisfied with what the Lord has given to us. We're satisfied with what the Lord has promised us. And we're satisfied with being described as poor in spirit. We're satisfied with that. We'll not quarrel with that. We'll not argue with that. We'll not want to change that. We're poor in spirit. Now, of course, that word is not in the vocabulary of the man of the world, the man of pleasure. Instead, he thinks of riches and fame and fortune and promotion and being something. We come across those during our lifetime who have their own 15 minutes of fame, and they get their name in the papers, and they'll more or less do anything just to get their photograph of their name in the paper. Christian is happy to be called poor in spirit. We're happy with our position. Turn to Philippians 1. There's a couple of verses here. That emphasizes what we've been saying. Philippians 1 and verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The word conversation is the word citizenship. If you go on over in Philippians and to chapter 3 and verse 20, the same word is used. Philippians 3 and 20, for our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your conversation be as becometh the gospel. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. So having our citizenship in heaven, we are to behave as citizens of heaven. Our conversation is to be that of citizens of heaven, not the citizens of this world. And having our citizenship in heaven, we're glad that the Lord has said of us, we're poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now in the last place, and quickly, we have the Christian and heaven. We have the Christian and happiness, the Christian and humility, and the Lord here speaks about the Christian and heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have here, first of all, the promise. Now I know, and indeed we were talking about the Jehovah Witnesses this morning and the morns, and they're fond of quoting the Beatitudes. And their understanding of the Beatitudes is, let's take the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And they and many others look at those words and they understand those words to mean, if you're poor in spirit, then you will merit a place in the kingdom of heaven. If you're poor in spirit, you will merit a place in heaven. If you have a hungering and a thirsting after the things of God, then that means you will merit a place in heaven. But that's not right. That is salvation by works. That's getting into heaven by works. We cannot merit the kingdom of heaven under no circumstances. Under any circumstances can we merit a place in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek. The person says, well, I will endeavor to be meek, that will merit a place for me in heaven. That's not right. Our place in heaven has been purchased for us, is reserved for us. It's as if we're already in heaven, and it has been made possible through the precious blood of Christ, through the atoning death of Christ. Even if we were not poor in spirit, even if we didn't mourn and we weren't meek and so forth, we would still be in heaven. We didn't merit our place in heaven through what we have in the Beatitudes. But this is what the Lord expects of those who are citizens of heaven. He expects us to be poor in spirit, because that's what we will be in heaven. He expects us to be meek, because that's what we will be in the kingdom of heaven. You can go down them all. But being poor in spirit does not merit heaven for us. We'll be there anyway. And that's for sure. Because you'll notice in verse 3, the words of the Lord, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Lord didn't say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. No. The kingdom of heaven is ours now. Not at the end of life's journey, when we have built up enough brownie points, as it were, to give us acceptance with God and, as it were, buy for us a place in heaven. No. We'll be in heaven because of Christ, because of his blood. That's the promise. Didn't the Lord say, I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's his promise. Then the last place you have, the place. If hell is the abode of the lost, heaven is the dwelling place of God's people. Not one blood-bought soul will be kept out. Not one blood-bought soul will be left behind. When the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there. In the book of the Revelation, we're reminded that only those who were saved, only those who were washed in the blood, will be in heaven. Revelation 21 verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. See, need the blood. It is the blood that removes defilement. It is the blood that takes away the abominable thing, sin. And if those things have not been removed, the person will not be in heaven. And my, what heaven will be like for the Christian. Revelation 21 verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. That's what makes heaven. It's Christ. Just reading again Andrew Bonner this morning, as I always do in the Lord's Day, his Lord's Day morning readings. And Bonner said, I know, and he says, when I get to heaven, there'll be multitudes there. But he says, I wish I was just there by myself. He says, I could enjoy the Lord all to myself. He was just expressing his love for the Lord. But the Lord will be there, and we long to see the Savior first of all. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, praise the Lord, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No graves, no funerals in heaven, no headstones. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We don't work here on earth to merit heaven. Heaven is ours now. Right now it's ours. Heaven became ours the day we got saved. And in God's plan, heaven was ours long before we knew him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. O Father and our God, we bless thee for thy truth, for the hope that is the portion of every Christian, every child of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Oh Lord, we just want to be poor in spirit. We just want, Lord, to be that humble individual like thyself. Lord, we want that meekness that the Lord Jesus himself spoke of. For I am meek and lowly. So, Lord, lead us on to be more like the Lord. Lead us on to be conformed to the image of his person. We ask thee, Lord, thou would write thy holy word upon our hearts. May we live for thee this week as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.